All right. Carol, can I have you read? We're going to go a little over, 5 minutes over, if that's okay. Carol, can I have you read verses 14 through 23?
Sure. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent me help once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit, which increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am filled, having received from Epaphroditus you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
Awesome.
Yeah, amen.
What can we add to that? Just want to make a couple more points on this and just hear from you guys on these thoughts. Now, we understand the overall mood of joy in this letter. This is probably at the end of the letter why we understand he's been so joyful throughout the letter. From what Carol just read, we understand that Paul was moved to joy because of the support and generosity of these Christians. So I think I shared this earlier. Paul's in prison. I understand that the Oscar's been up to the prison up in Sheridan. And it's a pretty nice facility, the federal prison up in Sheridan. Is that right, Oscar?
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty luxurious, right?
Swimming pool, tennis courts, flat screen TVs. My brother tried to get in there.
Okay.
He lives next to it.
Oh, well, we don't want you trying to get in there.
White collar crime.
The reason I bring that up is when we hear that someone's in prison, we oftentimes think the picture of Paul being in prison is much different. A prisoner in Paul's day he would have had to finance his own stay in prison. A prisoner up at Sheridan, the meals, the lodging would be paid by taxpayers. It's not like they're putting it to his tab, a prisoner up at Sheridan. Well, Paul was responsible. He had to somehow make it through life. And so the Philippians' gift here allowed him to get through basics just as he lived in prison. So this would have been a pretty big gift to receive. Paul's joy, however, was not in what the gift of money did for him, but in what it did for them. It's a different understanding here. He's not excited for what the money does for him. His excitement is actually that this will be credited to them on their account with God. He's not just excited that he's getting something. It's that they have become richer in God's sight. We'll just jump down here. Do you agree with the statement, the giver of a gift does not make himself poorer, he makes himself richer? For his own gift opens to him the gifts and the riches of God. Any response to that? That when we give a gift, we're not poorer. We're actually making ourselves richer. For our own gift opens to him, to us, the gifts and riches of God. What is that statement saying?
Well, you know, in that verse 18, it says a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. So,
right.
Don't give out of our abundance, we should be giving out of our sacrificially, I guess is what it's saying. That's what they did, apparently. He recognized that. Paul did.
Yeah. He has in mind these Old Testament, with that wording there. It says an odor of sweet savor. He has in mind there with that phrase that these are sacrifices, but that God is smelling them. That was the point of the sacrifice. When you sacrificed it, it would have a smell, and God's Old Testament people, the thought was God's nostrils would be pleased because he smells the sweet sacrifice. That's the language he's using here. And so that when we make sacrificial gifts to people, it's also, it's not just that we're helping the person, it's that God is smelling it and liking what is happening. That's a whole new way of understanding generosity and gift giving. It's not just to meet a need, we're pleasing God in the process. And this comes straight from Paul. This guy really has a different way of looking at things in a very healthy, beautiful perspective. Then finally, I just close this out just with this thought. The end of this letter ends with a very cryptic phrase. I don't know if you heard Carol read this. Paul sends greetings from the Christian brothers who are of Caesar's household. Huh. Who's that? Who do you think that is?
Please explain. I was wondering about that.
Yeah. So, you know, what we think about that is, of course, we're not thinking Caesar's household in Rome. We think this is more generally speaking to those who are working on behalf of Caesar spread throughout the land. So it could be someone in government, a high up government position in one of the towns that Paul is in while he's writing this letter. The point is that 300 years before Christianity became kind of the center religion of the world, 300 years before that, at a very early period, Paul was reaching high levels of state with the gospel. This teaching of contentment, of how gifts are they're not just for the other person, but they're pleasing to God's view of us. These things were winning the hearts and lives of people in high positions throughout the empire very early. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I don't think we'd say, oh, this is Caesar's nephew or something like that. I think what the majority view is, this is most likely a government official spread throughout the empire, that many of them are starting to come around to Christianity at an early stage.
Yeah, Rick made a good comment, like the jailers in the prison.
Yeah.
Good thought.
Yeah. Yep. Rick, I'm sorry. Well, I had the share screen, didn't see a lot of the writing here. Pecan pie, yeah, sweet. All right.